Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Hey Pasuk Hey. We learned Pasuk yesterday. The Mitzvah was to Rashi very quickly. The Pasuk says, "Asher Kitziro Roev Yochel V'Yel Mitzinim Yikochehu V'Shoaf Tzamim Chelav." According to the Mitzvah, the similar interpretation of the Pasuk is Alifa says to Yoiv that you're a jealous man. You rage with kas, and you are filled with kinna. And this jealousy and kinna, this kas and kinna, will destroy you. You'll consume yourself in this anger, this fit of anger, and this rage of jealousy. Calm down, Neof. Don't be jealous of the whole world. Don't worry, just because you witness wicked people succeed and prosper, it's meaningless. The end is their success results in nothing. And he goes on to say that the harvest of the crop, the success, which we're comparing here to a crop of the wicked, will ultimately be consumed by the hungry. And when the hungry come to seize the crop, they'll take it with the thorns. We learned yesterday in the Mitzvah, there's two different interpretations of what that means. And the interpretation basically was kitzim. We took the word mi tzinim, it means tzinim is short for kitzim, coats, thorns. I guess the shorish is the tzadi. The kotzim, they'll take the harvest, the crop, together with the thorns, meaning they'll completely, the success of the wicked will be completely wiped out. Not just the good, not just the good part of the crop, but even the thorns. And then it goes on to say, v'sha'af tzamim chelam, and people that are thirsty will swallow their wealth. And the way the Mitzvah learns interpretation, it's not just any person out there in the world who's hungry and thirsty will consume the wealth of the wicked. It means the victims. Okay, that's a very interesting insight which the Mitzvah adds. The victims, the people that have been exploited, whose wealth has been seized and exploited, they themselves will return to seize and to take back what was rightfully theirs. Rashi has a different translation. He takes the word mitzinim not to mean thorns, but means weapons, it means shields. And it means the people that have been spared from, have been spared from the weapons of the aggressor. The wicked, basically, let's see the words of Rashi. Rashi Pasuk. Okay, how we train Asher Kitziro Shel Rasha, the harvest of the wicked, Ra'ev Yochel, Kiyomus Rasha, Yavo Hara'evim, when the Rasha dies, Yavohu Hara'evim, the hungry, Shekitzetz Bechayov, Vishtalmu Gezelos, that was Shekitzetz Bechayov, that was cut. What?
Maybe he was cheap. He didn't give out anything when he was alive.
She was.
He gathered. He never gave out.
Okay. And he will take back. He'll take back now the theft from his assets. The hungry that in their lifetime was cut off, they were denied the good. Now, after the Russia dies, they'll come back to take what's rightfully theirs. V'yel mitzinim yikocheu. Now, here he says, "Kimo v'yikhu elecha, kloimar litzarcha, for your purpose." Now, what does it mean? Ha'oni hanosha mitzinim. The oni, the poor man that has been spared from the shields, uchle zayin shel Russia. Ze yikcheu ha'shoifet hanamuna l'kach, the shoifet, the judge that's in charge of dividing up the assets, the estate of the Russia, will return it to the poor man. So what he's saying, according to Rashi, is the survivors. Like, not the Rasha will succeed in cutting off many of his victims. Many of the victims will not be alive. There'll be many casualties. But the survivors will come forward. Who are the survivors? The people that have been spared from the weapons. And that's what we call the mitzinim, means are the weapons of the Russia, those that have been speared. So mi means from the tzinim, the shield. And here the shield is a reference, is a symbol for a weapon. The survivors that survived the war, they will now come, yikochehu, they will come and they will take it, the judge, the shofet, that's in charge of restoring all of the assets to the victims, will give it back to these people. The shoaf. There is no mashal in him. He's just seemingly he's just telling Eev that that don't be impressed with the success of the wicked. The success of the wicked is only short term. Ultimately, the wicked will perish, and all of his assets will be returned to his victims. That's all it seems to be saying. The only difference is, how do you attach the word mitzinim? Is mitzinim like the mitzvah means thorns? It means that they will be completely consumed, completely returned. Their success will be completely ruined. Or does it mean that the victims, who are people that have survived the onslaught of the Russia, they will be the ones that yikachehu, he will take it for them. Who is he? The judge, the shofet. He will take the return, the property that was the property of the Russia, and will give it back to the poor people who have been exploited all their lives. Okay, the next words in the Rashi, v'shoaf b'bala ish min hatsamim shagazlo b'chayov, same thing as the mitzvah v'shoaf means he will swallow up to bala ish min hatsamim from the thirsty shagazal b'chayev, those people that have been stolen in their life, chela memoydam shagazal ze b'chayev. Okay, so it's similar to the way the mitzvah is learned in the pasuk. Okay, now we go to a new idea, new section. Pasuk vav and pasuk zayin is yeah.
This pasuk is quoted in Esther Rabba, it's referring to Haman, the great wealth and led to his plotting against the Jews. The Ra'ed Yochel,
yeah.
The Mordecai, the Esther.
Okay.
In the end, all his wealth went to the hungry, that is, those who fasted for 3 days in response to his.
Aha. So they were hungry because they fasted 3 days. So they were the ones.
And
they ate up the space. Haman nasati la Esther. They ultimately received the property, the possessions of Haman.
Okay. Implies that Mordecai and Esther took Haman's property, not with weaponry and not with a shield, but rather they waged their battle as tzaddikim do.
So how does tzina mean that? Tzina means
tzina is a shield.
So the tzila is saying
they
it's a symbolic, tzina means a weapon, but the ultimate weapon is
Tfila.
Like Yabba Yaakov, Ashalakachim Yad Hoemori b'charbi uvekashti. Yaakov said to Yosef, I conquered the land of Amori with my sword uvekashti, my bow, which Rashi and the Targum there interpret to mean with my tfila, betfilasi uvebuasi, with my prayers. So he's also learning like Rashi that the word tzina means weapons, and the weapons here means the kleicha tfila. That's he was successful in prevailing upon Haman. Beautiful medrash. Okay, now does it go further? V'shof tzamim chelam. Does he explain what that means? The medrash. Does the medrash go further? The end of the pasuk. V'shof tzamim chelam. The thirsty will eat their wealth.
Yeah, but that just means that the victims, meaning the potential victims, will take over his v'shof tzamim chelam. Umi dechak l'mamano shel Haman Mordechai ben Esther hamid. Which means who pressed for Haman's money? Mordechai and Esther, and those who joined with them. Haman's money was distributed as follows: one third, this one third to Mordechai and Esther, one third to those who studied Torah, and one third towards temple reconstruction.
Okay. Very nice, beautiful medrash. So let's go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says, "Ki lo yetzei me ofar oven u me adamo lo yitzmach omol." He of now is going back to the beginning to the previous parak. Okay, parak Dalit. Eliphaz going back to parak Dalit, where Eliphaz says to Eiv that Hakadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon you suffering, there's a reason. Nothing in this world happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. And he expressed this idea by saying, "Ki lo yetzei me ofar oven." Oven over here means punishment. Oven is not, doesn't mean over here inyan shever. According to the Mesudas Sion, it doesn't mean over here, no, we will use the word oven to mean wickedness, sin. Here it means ruin, destruction. Destruction does not come out of the earth. It's not a weed. Okay, weeds just grow wild. It's hard to attribute why did this weed grow in this place at this point in time. When Hashem brings upon the earth, or then
destruction. It doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't grow on its own. There is a reason. If you, Eve, are suffering from destruction, shever, it must be because either you deserve it, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan which is beyond your understanding. Ki lo yetzei mi'ofar oven, u'me'adama lo yitzmach omel, the same man who repeats himself from the earth, does not sprout omel. Omel is another word here, which means harm. It's the same. It's a synonym for oven. Amol means basically. How does the Targum translate this? Yirbe leos. Min adama lo. Cannot show what leos means. Harm does not just come out of nowhere. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David. Pasik vav. Kilo yetsi rotzlemer haloi. Einenu rois, our eyes see. Asher nishavi ba'olam amol v'oven, that in this world there's a lot of harm, a lot of bad things happen in this world. Which we use in the two words that we use to describe bad things in this world are amol and oven. V'hinei, behold, einam tzemchem v'yotzim min adama. It does not happen that churbin, destruction, harm, suffering comes upon this world. Lovo me'aleim b'mikra. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen by chance. Ki'im b'boim l'shalim gimul hanifal. When destruction comes, it's a punishment. It's to pay back people what they deserve. Ulezed, therefore, kasheri isi ha'evel hamashrish. Now he's going back to the beginning of the parak. Therefore, what's my bottom line? When I witness in this world an evil, a rasha, a wicked man, hamashrish, who takes root, meaning a wicked man is successful, shapatati, I come to the conclusion, I judge in my own mind, shuharoi liyos min hamikablim ha'amol va'oven, that he will one day be from the people that will be recipient of Churban. I don't have to worry. I don't have to get excited. I don't have to be like you and get jealous and be full of kina. I recognize that ultimately his success will be his failure, because his success is only due to wickedness, to extortion, to theft, to robbery. Ultimately, I acknowledge shehu haroi liyos min hamikablin ha'amal v'oven kilo noe kilo yoeh. He's a play on the piyut from the Haggadah. It's deserving that it should come upon him. So he seems to be saying, he's tying me back, and he's saying, I'm not worried. This Russia in the beginning of Perik, hey, when he says in Pasuk Gimel, Ani Risi Evil Mashrish VeEkoyv Naveil Pisom, I know that ultimately he'll get what he deserves, and when he get what he deserves, people should realize it's not for nothing. It's because he is a wicked man. Okay, Pasuk Zayin, or Zerash, let's see, Rashi, Pasuk Vav, Ki lo yitzim yofar, Makeh haba ala adam, a makeh that comes when a person, lo lechinam hu, v'loy min ofar titzmach bo. It does not happen by itself. When a person suffers a wound, it's not an accident. Every single thing in this world has an address, has a reason. Oven hu losh and shever, oven over here is the same as omol, it means churban. Pasuk Zayin, Ki, now this is a very famous Pasuk, Ki adam le'omol yulod. A person was born for the purpose of toil. Amol here does not the same, is not being used the same way as it's used in Pasuk Vav. La Yitzmach Amol, there Amol means destruction. Here it means Ki Adam or Lisa, a similar interpretation. Man was made La Amol to work. To work or to straighten out his crookedness. He's Yulad Uvnei Reshef. Now there are many interpretations. We'll see what this means. Uvnei Reshef means the son of fire. Reshef simply means a spark of fire. According to Rashi, we'll see it means an arrow. Yagbiu Uf, they elevate in flight. They go up high. They go up all the way up in front. Now what exactly does that mean? Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David Pasuk Zayin. Ki Adam Haloi. Ha'adam niver liyos amol al tarfo. A person was created to work for his food. Loi lo kachas mizuloso dover asher lo amol bo. Not to steal from a person something which is not his. A person was created to work and not steal. Uvnei reshef kasher. Now he gives an example. Kasher nitzotze rishbe esh. Chuchak tivam. It's been established their nature. Sparks of fire. Rishbe Esh means means a coal of fire, a spark of fire. Chuchak tivam, it's been established their nature. Lehagbia atzmam, to elevate themselves, lu'uf lamala, to fly upward. So now he says, kein mishpat ha'adam la'amol al tirfo, it's nature, it's natural for a person to work hard for his food. V'zeho evil, lo'ikein asa, la'ze yikabul gemulo misholem. That's why he suffers. So according to Mitzudos only, he's coming to explain, Pasuk Zayin is an explanation for Pasuk Vav. The reason why this person is suffering, the reason why we will ultimately witness a person suffer, it's not an accident. It's not lo yetzei mi'ofer oven, u'me'adam lo yitzmach oven. It doesn't have my accent. There's a reason why he suffers. You know why? Because he has gone against the rules of the world. Hashem created a man for the purpose that he should earn an honest livelihood. Adam la'omol yula, just like it's natural, it's nature, it's physics. Uvinei resha, for sparks of fire, it's a comparison. It's natural that sparks of fire, vnei meaning sparks of a coal, reshef is a coal. When you take a coal and you bang a coal against a piece of metal or a piece of a surface or a stone, sparks shoot up. Those sparks, yagbihu, they elevate themselves uf in flight, meaning they go up. That's physics. That's teva. That's nature. Likewise, it's nature for man to earn an honest living, to earn his keep. And if a person goes and steals, takes away from someone with theft, you're going against the rules of nature. And therefore, what's going to happen? Hashem will ultimately step in and bring churban, bring omol, oven, and omol to this wicked man who has gone against the rules of the world. Now that's according to the way the Mitzudos owns the Pasuk. It rashes a little bit different. Pasuk Zayin, ki Adam lamal yulad, ki ef shashalo yechtevi kabel amol b'chetai. Rashi takes the word amol differently. Amol, he learns to mean, actually means churban. It means destruction. It means harm, suffering. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yechetah. Every single person in this world has to suffer. Ki ef shashalo yechtevi kabel amol b'chetai. It's impossible for a person not to receive pain and suffering due to his sins. Lekabel pur anuso ve'ena kivnei reshef. A human being is not like a malach. According to Rashi, he's telling us the word reshef is a synonym for an angel. Malachim, they do not suffer. They are not subject to punishment, because malachim, they go all the way up, yagbir, they fly, they go close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any suffering. They elevate in flight. They're not from people from the bottom part of this world. Means they elevate in flight. They're not like the people in this world who have to suffer omol, but they go to Shemayim. Because they're not subject to the influence of the Satan, the Yetzirah. Kama Rishbe Kedin. And now Rashi gives another interpretation. Reshef. Kama Rishbe Keshes. Rishbe Keshes means the arrows of a bow. Kishachetz me'oifefes nikra Rishbe Lashon Uf. When an arrow flies in the air, it's called Rishbe. And Rishbe comes from the Shurish of Uf. The pay is the main syllable. Svar Machemin, other some do not have this. According to Rashi's second interpretation, or not his second interpretation, he's telling us a little interpretation, then he's telling us the borrowed one, the Pasuk is symbolic of. Uvinei Reshef literally means arrows. Okay, the children of the bow. Reshef could be, I saw somewhere else, it means the bow. So the children of the bow, what's the product of the bow? An arrow. The arrow shoots all the way to Shemayim, shoots all the way up to heaven. We're taking that literal term and we're using it as a metaphor for angels. Angels shoot all the way up to Shemayim. They have the ability to go directly towards the Shechina, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be nene from the Ziv HaShechina, whereas man does not have that ability. Man suffers in this world. Why does man suffer? Because man is subject to, is under the influence of the Yetzirah and the Satan. It's man's sins. Those those sins prevent him from flying all the way to Shemayim. He has to go through this. He has to go through suffering in this world. So he's coming to explain over here. He's giving it according to Rashi. Rashi is not like the Mitzudos, where this pasuk goes back to the previous pasuk, but instead Eliphaz is telling Eov that if you're suffering, you're suffering because of your sins. Just like what he said in Perek Dalet, Hashem has a cheshbonos. You claim that you are a tzaddik. It cannot possibly be that you're a tzaddik, because if you're a tzaddik, there's no such thing as a tzaddik being destroyed. Look back at Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Noach, and Moshe. They were not destroyed. They were tzaddikim, and they were not destroyed. If you are being destroyed, it must be that you're a Rasha. You're a Rasha. You're not like the Malachim who are bnei Resh of Yagbiwov. You're an Amo.
Yeah. Translates flaming demons on Luchumei Resha.
Flaming demons. It's another idea of anything which is fire, spiritual, we call Reshef. Okay, so we have over here two very different interpretations in how to understand this pasuk. The Mitzudos sparks, it's a comparison, it's natural, a whole of completely different interpretations. Let's review. According to Mitzudos, Ki Adam Lam is a continuation of the previous pasuk, that a person, when a person suffers, it's not for no reason. It's because he has committed a sin. What's the sin? He has stolen from others. Why is stealing from others such a great sin? Because he's violated the rules of Hashem's world. Just like Hashem put into the world rules of nature, for example, sparks of fire, they fly upward. The moral rules of the world are, you earn your keep, you don't take from someone else. You violate those rules, you deserve to suffer. Therefore, that's why you're suffering, it's not happening by itself. According to Rashi's interpretation, Eliphaz is telling Eov, Ki Adam L'Amol Yulad, you're suffering because of your own sins. Why are you suffering? Because you're not a malach. It's only v'nei reshef yagbiwof. But if you're not a malach, you have to recognize that you have been contaminated by the Yetzirah, and you have to suffer. You have to suffer Amol. Yeah.
Rashi quotes the pasuk from Eov.
Oh, there he quotes this pasuk over here. Interesting, right? A lot of things that he quotes, they say that the Rashi in Eov is suspect of not being the real Rashi. Rashi, because since they're sending many things that he quotes back and forth, and they don't fit to the interpretation.
Shade in Rashi says shade.
Demons, not malach. Here he says malach and ruchos. All right, interesting. Okay, now there's obviously everyone I'm sure knows the famous medrash. I didn't bring my medrash sefer today. Ki adam la'amol yulad. There's a gemara. The gemara is a question. We don't know what is this amol. Is this amol for amol physical labor, or is it for sicha? Is it for amol peh? A person can spend his whole life speaking, can be involved in making decisions in different types of amol peh, not physical labor. So the Gemara goes on to say, it's possible that a person doesn't have to fulfill his whole life in the physical labor. He can spend his life as a white collar executive, where he's osik the entire day in amol peh. Then the Gemara says the ultimate madrega is to be zocha to devote his life to amol peh in Torah. To be v'higis sabo yomom v'layla. There's a gezerah upon a human being that he must work in this world. He must be amel. He must be busy. If a person merits, he'll be able to fulfill that gezerah through to be omel bepeh in the words of Divrei Torah. If he doesn't choose to devote his kochos in that direction, then he'll have to. He'll have to fulfill it in one way or another. Fortune is the person that's able to fulfill the rule that man must be omel in words of Torah. Okay, let's go to pasuk ches. Ula. Now again, we go on to the self righteousness where Eliphaz says to Eov, Eov, I'm so much better than you. If I were in your shoes, I would not behave like a child the way you're behaving. He says this numerous times. And here he says it again. Ulam, the truth is, perhaps, if this was happening to me, if I were in your shoes, ani edrosh el kel. I would seek out Hashem. The El Elokim Osim Divrosi, I would speak to Hashem. I would come to shul early. I would daven. I would fast. I would use this as an opportunity to come closer towards Hashem. You, Eve, are using this as an opportunity to vent, to complain, to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Pratis. I would not be like you. Oh yeah. He's telling him that you're a sinner, you're a kofer, you don't use this as the right opportunity, and everything. Okay, let's see. So let's see. And then let's read a few psukim. Pasuk Tes, he goes on to say, Eov, you have a very shallow understanding of this world. You think you understand it all. Oseh gedolos v'ein cheikir. Hashem does in this world great things that are beyond investigation. It is impossible for a human being to fathom, to delve into the depth, the cheker, to investigate, to fully comprehend the actions and the hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem does in this world niflaos, wonders, ad ein mispar, that are beyond number. It's impossible for us to recount the deeds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beyond human being's ability. And in other words, what he's telling is, don't be shallow. Don't have a shallow view of the world where you think you can understand everything that Hashem does. Therefore, when you suffer, recognize that it's for the greater good, and Hashem has his calculations.
What's Lufas's claim to fame? I mean, his father was a Russian.
His grandfather was Yitzchak. That we learned in the beginning. There was a Medrash. His grandfather, he learned... Zayda gave him was protexia. Yeah, protexia from Zayda. Hanoi Sein Mata Alpani Aretz.
Right.
We say this in Maariv every night, correct. Well, not exactly. You don't have the Vav. Ose Gedolos. It's a little bit different. Ade is a little bit of a change. Okay.
I think it's just one letter difference.
Okay, Pasuk Yod, then he gives examples. Hanosei Matar Al Pnei Oretz. Now here it's amazing that he describes what is an example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great things that Hashem does. Hanosei Matar Al Pnei Oretz. Hashem, he sends forth rain upon the earth. V'sholeach Mayim Al Pnei Chutzos. And he sends forth water upon the fields. Okay, so Hashem does all of these amazing things. Let's take a look at the mitzvahs in these few psukim. Pasuk Ches to Pasuk Yod. Pasuk Ches. Ulam. Be'emes. The word Ulam means in truth. Im ha'yisi ani meduke bi'yisurim. Self-righteousness. If I were in your shoes, if I was the one sitting in your chair suffering with boils from head to toe, if I was the one who lost all of my wealth, if I was the one who lost my 10 children, I wouldn't behave like you. Who could say talk like this today? I wouldn't behave like you. I would not complain to Moscha. I would seek out, I would use this as an opportunity to come close to Hashem. The El Kel, Kofel Hadover B'milim Shoinas. Pasuk Tes, Oseh Gedolos, he gives examples. Hashem does great things. Ki hu Oseh Gedolos, therefore, what is the message of Eliphaz? Therefore, V'i Efshar, Lachkor Oysam. It's impossible to understand, to fathom the depth of Hashem's reasoning, uladatam, and to understand them. Ucho oimer, what Eliphaz is trying to say, lezeh hayisi derish laHashem. That's why I would daven to Hashem. Ki biyado lehoshia, because it's within Hashem's power to save, the yimshol b'mareches Hashemayim, to rule over the heavenly bodies, ulechol asher yachbo tziata, and Hashem can do whatever He wants. He can turn the world in any way He wants. Im kinirik hasher tishboi tamareches kein hu al pi harov. Although it appears that you're dependent upon a mazel, although it appears that indeed you are, there are certain preconditions, there are certain dispositions that you find yourself in that you have no control over. That's true, but mikol makom, it's true. Chazal he's coming according to the mitzvahs. He's going a little bit light now on Eov. He's saying it's true. There is something called mazel. Obviously, you are born in a certain mazel with a certain mazel, and there are certain things which are destined to happen. But mikol makom hakol biyado, Hashem has the power to change your mazel. The im kilo neda pishon hadavar hu bavur, and although we don't know the interpretation of the matter, we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Hashem's his on bavur ki kotz data adam, because man's knowledge is limited and we have no understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct. Hasher ein chekel l'chol agadolos shaosa hamakom baruch hu. We are unable to fathom the depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wonders. What does Hashem do? Ad a misbar, goes on to say, he does things that are beyond beyond misbar, beyond count. Legodel ribuyam, due to the abundance, due to their enormous number. So, you know, today we judge people by intelligence. We give a person a score, IQ. Right? A person has an IQ, you give a person a number. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I once heard someone say, it's not a tongue-in-cheek, it's not a real, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is A ad A misbar. Hashem's IQ number is off the charts. So simply in the Pasuk of it means misbar means that Hashem's deeds are so numerous we can't even begin to relate to count all the chassadim Hashem has done for us. But a homiletic interpretation, if man would be able to measure another human being's intellect in terms of numbers, let's say you can develop a science where you can ask a person a series of questions and he'll answer the question. Based upon those questions, you can give a number to a person, put everyone in this world in rank in their degree of intelligence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intelligence is so awesome, there is no number in this world that it's possible to define HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Off the charts. Pasuk, back to the next pasuk. You know the Masar. Im ki rabois pamim lo yoyra hateva ala matar. Im kol ze yitin hu zulos hateva b'ashkocha pasuk. He's giving you a very profound example. According to Mitzvah, what he means over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gedgilos anichel. Let's take a step back. The previous Mitzvah told to be very profound. Eliphaz says to Eliph, Eliph, you're right. What is your complaint? What did he say in Perek? Paragimel. Hashem is not involved in the daily affairs of this world. Hashem created the world, that at least that much at this point in time he's willing to acknowledge. It's Hashem's world, he's the creator. But Hashem stood back. He wound up the world like he wound up a watch and stood back and let the world tick by itself. Hashem is not involved in the daily affairs, everything is predetermined, it's based upon mazel. Eliphaz is telling Eliphaz that to some degree you may be right. There is something in this world called mazel. It's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does set up things in a certain way where certain things are going to happen based upon a certain predisposition. However, Hashem is watching, Hashem is there, Hashem still allows the world to exist, Hashem is involved in every single moment of his existence. And therefore, if Hashem wants to change something, Hashem can change something at any moment that he wants. So that's what he's saying, and therefore don't complain. Now he gives an example. When it comes to rain, sometimes it's not meant to rain. And if it's not meant to rain, what's natural? People will starve. There will not be any rain, there will not be any vegetation, and people are not going to have what to eat. Yet we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in a roundabout way, although the teva is that it doesn't rain, yet rain makes its way to the fields, or food makes its way to people's mouths, to their table, even though, according to the laws of nature, it should not have been. So that's why, according to the Mitzvot, he's giving specifically this example. It's a continuation of the previous two examples. Hanoisin mater al pnei oretz. In the words of the Mitzvot, im ki rabos pamim, most of the time, many times, rabos pamim, lo yore hateva ala mater. It's not the rules of nature that it should rain. That's just not the way it's not meant to be. According to the pattern, the weather pattern, it's not going to rain. If it's not going to rain, then there's going to be a drought. There'll be a drought, there's going to be starvation. Im kol zeh, nevertheless, yitein hu zulas hateva b'yashkocha pratis. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu does somehow provide the earth with sustenance, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the daily activities of this world, and he makes sure people survive. And then he repeats himself in the next end of the pasuk, the shaleach matar al pnei chutzos. Hashem sees to it that matar reaches the fields, even though according to the rules of nature, was not necessarily meant to be. Okay, let's look at Rashi pasuk ches ulamani edrash im hayu ba mali olai yisum halalu. Rashi says the same thing as the mitzvos. If our yisum would come upon me, hayisi darish el hakadosh baruch hu b'tfilo uvitchina, I would pray to Hashem, the ilu hayis sham, and if I were in your place, I would pray to Hashem. And then he gives an example, Rashi is going away from the pshat, and he's giving a medrash. And this pasuk, this very classic pasuk, is that when it rains, Hashem delivers rain to Eretz Yisrael directly. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, this is what it says in the Medrash, Hashem is involved directly in making sure that it rains in Eretz Yisrael, or making sure that it doesn't rain, whatever Hashem decides. In Chutz Yaretz, it's through a Shaliach. That's why we say when we're Mispalel, the same talamotar levrach al pnei hodam of v'sabenu. So we have two different girsos. V'sabenu mi tuvecha, v'sabenu mi tuva. So some learn from your goodness. That's the simple interpretation. Some have a girsa mi tuva from its goodness. Why do we say from its goodness? Because when we pray for rain, we recognize this. Mamish koni from this pasuk, we recognize that rain, the brach of rain, starts off in Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Ikar Brach of Geshem, as it says in this pasuk, Hanosein, you Hashem directly deliver Matar al Pnei Oretz, upon Oretz, referring to Eretz Yisrael. And the rest of the world only receives Bracha as a trickle down effect. V'shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos, Hashem, from the rain that comes down upon Eretz Yisrael, there is a trickle down effect where water is also sent to the fields, meaning to chutz li'aretz. So when we are praying for rain, where are we primarily praying for spiritual rain? Upon Eretz Yisrael, v'sein tal umatar livracha al pnei ho'adama. What's the adama? The adama is Eretz Yisrael, not just Gashmiyistik rain, but spiritual rain. And then once there is spiritual blessing in Eretz Yisrael, there's a trickle down effect to Chutz Eretz. V'sabenu satisfy us in Chutz Eretz mituva from its goodness, the goodness of Eretz Yisrael that you send down, all based upon the pasuk here, Matar al pnei Eretz v'shaleach mayim al pnei chutz, which Rashi actually quotes. Okay, now we go to pasuk Yud Aleph. Losum. Now he's going on to describe all the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does. Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the daily affairs of the world, and he proves it by saying, Losum shefalim limarom. We have this in the prayer on Yom Kippurim. Mi yichye mi yamus mi yarum mi yishafel. Umiyarum, that's the very end. Mi yishafel, who will descend to the lowest steps? Umiyarum, who will be elevated? It says exactly that thing over here. Losum shefalim limarum. The Shprocha has the power to take people that are lowly, and he elevates them to the highest stature. The kodrim. Kodrim means people that are dark, people that have been blackened. This typically refers to people that are very poor. People that are very poor due to malnutrition, their skin is dark, or due to a lack of a bottom of a pot. A kedera is called kedera because the bottom is black, it's back. So kodrim literally means dark. People who are dark, meaning people that are suffering. Suffering, it's symbolic. The people that are suffering are typically dark. They're not clean. They have malnutrition. So sagvu means they are strengthened. Yesha, you have to add a base. It says, sagvu biyesha, they are strengthened with salvation. Let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. In the midst of losam, b'chidei lohasim lamar b'gavei hamala es hashvalim chasiri halachem, so that Hashem should elevate to the highest elevation the low people who are low, who don't even have what to eat. Kibiyos hamata, so according to the mitzudos, this pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending rain. He's sending matar on upon the arts. He's being shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos. Why is Hashem doing this? He's doing this so that the people who are starving, who don't have what to eat, they can have what to eat. So they'll now have some satisfaction. Kibiyos hamata hadama titen yivula, when the earth produces rain, when there's matar on the Adama, then the earth gives Yivula, v'ravach lohem, and it satisfies the earth. V'nir gam b'zeh godel hashkocha, and you can see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkocha, although it's not meant to be. The weather pattern does not allow there to be rain, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things that are unusual, and he causes rain to fall at unexpected times to make sure that the human beings that live on the earth that depend upon the produce of the earth will have what to eat and will be able to survive. V'koidrim hanishchodim me'akas haravon. Those that are black from the crying, from the pain, the pangs of hunger. Nischasku, they will be strengthened b'yesha elokim, in the salvation of Hashem when He causes it to rain unexpectedly, and the earth produces produce, and they have what to eat. And so true today. We see even today, with all of the technology today, that's one thing that they cannot predict. They cannot predict the weather. The weather patterns is a big mystery. Even though we had last week, there was supposed to be a snowstorm between 6 and 12 inches. So I heard, woke up in the morning, I heard they interviewed one of the meteorologists on the radio. He says, this storm broke all the rules. They have all of the computer models from beginning to end. all predicted there would be between 6 to 12 inches. And this storm, at the last minute, just took a turn. It took a turn against all the rules. So it goes to show that even in 2014, you can't, this, the hashgacha of Geshem is something which is, we can see the poel, the Yad Hashem. That's seemingly what he's saying here, according to the Mitzudas. This is the big example. This is the big example. Also, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nothing happens by chance. There is Hashkacha Pratis. And if you want an example of to prove that there is Hashkacha Pratis in this world, look at how it rains. You cannot possibly predict when it's going to rain. All of science can still tells you it's not going to rain. Look, lasum for the purpose of what? Giving sustenance. Lasum shefalim lamarom v'kaidrim sagvu yesha to send them with salvation. Rashi pasuk yud aleph. He's going on to the next pasuk. Let's read the next pasuk. Pasuk yud base. Now he's going to a different theme. Hashem, he's saying that don't worry about the wicked. Don't be so impressed. He's going back to being the parak. If you're angry, you're full of jealousy, you're suffering, other people are successful, and you're referring specifically to the wicked people who are, it's not fair. Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. You're a tzadik, and you're suffering, but the rishoyim, they're doing very well. They're not doing so well, don't worry, the end will be, their counsel will be annulled. Mefer HaKadosh Baruch Hu annuls machshavos, the thoughts of arumim, the wicked, the cunning. The word arumim here is used in a negative sense. The people who are wicked, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Hashem cuts them off. He annuls their plans. V'lo sasena yidehem tushia, and their hands do not achieve anything. Tushia is a beautiful word. It comes to the word yesh. Even though the shin and the yud are the tough is can be interchanged sometimes with the yud. Yesh. Yesh means something. A mamoshes. Lahanchil ohava yesh. Hashem says, I will bequeath to my beloved yesh. Something real. Something of substance. That means in the next world, this world is just a temporary world, but the next world, there is yesh. There is real substance. There's something that's something real. So here it says that the wicked people who plan and plot the entire day, the end is they will accomplish absolutely nothing. Their hands will not achieve tushia, anything substantial. They will not walk away with a yesh, with any success. Pasuk lamed aleph in the Mitzudos. Mefer b'hashkachosai to Hakadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha pratis mefer machshavos chachamim hamischaknim be'aromos v'tachpulos, people that think they're wise with clever tricks to cheat and harm other people. Tushia kol ma sheyesh im machshavosim lasos, they accomplish nothing. They walk away without any sense of success or accomplishment. Pasuk Rashi Yud Aleph, when we go together to Yud Beis, Losum Shefolim Lumarom, who knows in the Samotim, who may for Machshavos, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives rain, who may for Machshavos Arumim, Shemedamim Lafkia Sharim, Felikno Sado Sanim Bimaat Tvua. So according to this interpretation of Rashi, Rashi is putting two Pesukim together, is telling us that when there's a famine, what do the wicked people do? They hoard their produce, and they raise the prices to exploit the poor. So Hashem says, he's not going to let this happen. He's going to cause it to rain, and when there's rain, then there's going to be an abundant crop. And when there's an abundant crop, automatically the people who have hoarded grain, they don't have any buyers because it's plentiful. So the price goes down. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu, giving an example, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes... breaks the monopoly. He breaks the crime. Who knows sayness amotav who made for machshavos arumim shemedam, they think lafki asharim gesundheit, they think they're going to raise the price to liknei sodos anim b'mat tvua, and be able to go and acquire the fields of the anim with a small amount of tvua. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu annuls their plots by bringing rain and causing the crop to be abundant. Koidrim shekoimtim ponim barav, that means that their faces they wrinkle. Okay, according to Rashi, Rashi has a different term. The kodim doesn't only mean to turn black, it means to be wrinkled. Shekoimed means to fold. their folds on their flesh due to famine. People who are in a state of famine, they don't look right. They don't look well. They look malnourished, but now they will be strengthened with salvation. Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk Yud Beis, Lo Sanu Yudechem Toshia, Oysa Eitzah Shedimu Lassos, they will not, the wicked will not succeed. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Lo Ched Chachamim Bo'armam, they trap the wicked Bo'armam in their deceit, Va'atzas Niftalim, and the counsel of the crooked Nimhara is quickly acted upon themselves. This fits very well into the story of the Megillah. Let's see just more precise than the Megillah. Bidvar ha'arma asher chashvu lasos lezulas, concerning the deceit that they plan to do to others. Bezeatzma loched osam v'yipol b'shachas yifol. According to the Mitzvot, they're caught in their own trap. That they do themselves and they outsmart themselves. What they plan to do to others comes upon themselves. So according to the Mitzvot, the word loched means chachamim. They are ba'armam. You have to read those two words together. Their deceit traps themselves. Their arma is loched, the clever, the evil genius. Next part of the pasuk, va'atzas niftalim, atzas ho'akoshim, the counsel of the crooked, nasim b'mehera, meaning that it doesn't take long. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to put an end to a wicked person, it happens in a moment. Doesn't take years for their plan to unravel. Instantly it happens. Kisosh v'alatzmam, their plan boomerangs, comes back against them. V'hu inin melitza, this is an expression. Loimar, hoil v'hu yi'otze, since he's the one that planned, he's the one that advised to commit this crime. V'eilof tashuv, so he should get what he deserves. The plan should come upon him. Im kein, nasim b'mihirus ravul, happened very quickly. Ki ha'odam kara v'latzma, v'ein le'itza merachak l'leches, melitza. It's just an expression, since you're the one that devised the plot, so you don't have to do it on someone else. It's close to you. Ki kara v'lecha hadovim me'od, b'ficha v'lovcha la'sosa, it should come upon you. You plan to let it come upon you right away. Okay, back to Pasuk Yud Dal, Rashi, Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel Nimhara Kol Ha'itza Asuya B'Mehirus Hu Sichlus. The entire plan is foolish. The fool of plan, the plan that was done in a state of haste is foolishness. So he's taking the pasuk Niftalim Nimhara Batsas Niftalim Nimhara. He's saying that the plan, according to Rashi, it appears the word imhara is not a verb. It's defining the plan. The plan that's a crooked plan is a foolish plan. It's not thought out well. Wicked people don't think out their plans perfectly, because if they thought out their plans perfectly, they wouldn't stumble so quickly. It was crafted in haste. The plan, the Eitzah was Nimhara, and that's why the plan is Niftolim. The plan is crooked. That's how Rashi appears to be doing the Parashah. So he's taking the first word, Atzas, with the last word, Nimhara. It was a plan that was crafted quickly, and therefore Niftolim, it is one that is crooked and will unravel quickly. Okay, then he goes on to say, what will happen to the wicked people? It's very similar. Yomam Yifkishu Choshech. These wicked people, during the daytime, they will feel darkness. In other words, he's going to curse the wicked. The wicked people will get what they deserve. Even during the daytime, it'll feel like it's night. They'll suffer to such a great degree, it'll be pure dark for them. The Chalayla Yimashashu Batsarayim. And like in the evening, it's a repetition of the same idea, and like in the evening, they will feel their way in midday. Even during the time when the sun is shining right in the center of the sky, for these wicked people, it will feel dark. Let's go further. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayosha Mecher Mipiem. But the righteous, now he goes on to describe the righteous. The righteous do not have to worry about these wicked people. The righteous will be spared. Hashem will save mecherev, from a sword. Now here he goes on to describe something which the Chofetz Chaim talks about a lot. Mipihem. The worst thing a wicked man can do to someone is not physical harm, but the sword of the mouth. The cherev is the peh. Today they would probably say it's the keyboard, right? You can do more harm with the keyboard than you can today with the peh. Because the keyboard, you can broadcast all over the world as long as someone's willing to come visit your website. So Hashem spares the righteous from the sword of the wicked. And where is the sword of the wicked to be found? Mipihem, it's in their mouth, slander. The wicked slander the righteous. Umiyat chazak evyon, Hashem spears the evyon from the hand of someone that is stronger than he. Vatehi ledal tikva, the poor man has hope. Ve'oilasa kafsa pia, where do we say that? Ve'oilasa tikvat pia, on the yamim noiram on Rosh Hashanah, and iniquity will close its mouth. Hashem will silence. V'cholarisha kerega. Say it again. We say this in the Nusach HaTfilah of the Yom Noram. So here it says, see that Hashem will silence the wicked. The Dal, the poor, will have hope. The Elasa, and evil will shut its mouth. Let's take a look at these two psukim in the Mitzudos Pasik, starting with Pasik Yud Dalit. Yom Ambo'or Hayom Yivkishu Es HaChoshech. The wicked people will suffer. When it's daylight, they will feel darkness. Ratzaloymar B'davar Bor Hanir La'ayin Kle'in Kol Tiskal Atzasam V'yitubo. Things that are so simple, so clear, that even a child knows. For these wicked people, they will be blinded. Hashem will blind their minds, and they will do foolish things. V'chalayla, kemo haholich b'cheshchas halayla, just like a person walks when it's pitch black dark, he has to get down on his hands and knees and feel the ground to make sure he does not stumble. That's exactly how the wicked will walk during midday. Kemo haholich b'cheshchas halayla, asher darko b'derech is l'mashesh b'yad, to get down on your hands and feel the ground. L'bal yuchshal b'dover ma, not to stumble over anything. Kein yimash yimashishu be'etz hatzarayim, the wicked will feel the earth during midday. V'rotzaloymar af b'dover hamuvim b'tchilas hamachshava, even things which are simple, you don't need any depth, you don't need to go into the inside of your mind to figure out the simple matter. Yiyeh tocheneim, for the wicked, their eyes will be blind, will be smeared with garbage, with darkness. Meraos, mehasechel, liboisam, from allowing their heart to understand the matter. The kofel hadover, this idea is repeated twice in the pasuk. The nilim shoynas. Next, vayosha, Hashem will then spear the sichel daitam. Yosha Hashem esmi asher hoyat sosam olav, and Hashem will spear the sichel daitam. And due to the foolishness, and due to the foolishness of the wicked people, they'll make such great mistakes. And because of their mistakes, the righteous will be spared. Hashem will cause the wicked to make mistakes. Asmi asher atzasam olav v'yeh noisha mecheref. What's the sword? So he defines v'hu mipihem. Shel rasham ahem asher chashu l'balam chayim. They thought they can swallow up the tzaddik alive. Ki yishku v'lo yedu mayasu lehasig. But now they will stumble. Now they will stumble. They will stumble, and they're not going to know what to do in order to achieve what they desire. Umiyat chazak bebeze yoshia ha'evyon miyat chazak mimenu. The kofel hadav b'milshonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save the evyon from the one who is stronger by causing the wicked person to make foolish mistakes, and his entire plan will unravel. Pasik tezayin vatehi sikul das harasha tia l'malos tikva sadal. The foolishness of the wicked will be a source of hope for the poor. Asher yachel eleha, which he yearns, the one that yearns for. I think it means the one that yearns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hope of the poor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the oilasa tikvat spia, hine ha avla stama pia. The wicked person will keep his mouth shut and will not be able to cause harm. So this concludes his thought. From here we see clearly, this is what he said, the Eve says, this concludes his rebuke. This concludes this section of the rebuke according to the Mesudos. Eliphaz says to Eov, how dare you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the Hashkach HaPratis? He certainly is. Look at the way of the world. look at the fact that it rains, look at the fact that wicked people, they make foolish mistakes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spares them, he elevates them from their lowliness to a state of greatness, he provides for them parnasa, even though the wicked people are trying to exploit them, to raise the prices, to have a monopoly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu annuls their counsel, and he spares them from their slander. Look around at this world, pay close attention, and you will see, if you search, that there is Hashgacha Pratis. I just want to go back to the key word where Eov said that there's no Hashgacha Pratis. It's just one very short statement, which is really very, very important to focus. You know, there's a lot going on, a lot of different expressions, but the real words of Eov, where he says there's no Hashgacha, we should always remember, is in Perek Gimel, Pasek, curses his existence. Smith Mogil. Here it is. Pasek Chav Beis. Pasek Chav Beis is probably the most important pasek. After going, Perek Gimel Pasek Chav Beis. Perek Gimel Pasek Chav Beis. This is really where it all starts. Everything until he curses his day, he curses his whole life. But then he says, "Legever asher darko nistora, vayosech elokai ba'ado," to a man whose way is hidden from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the key phrase. Hashem does not know what happens to man. Hashem created a world, he wound it up, he stepped away, and Hashem is not involved. Vayosech elokai ba'ado, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put up a wall. He created a barrier in front of man. I don't want to have nothing to do with you, Adam. You go and fend for yourself. You're all subject to the rules of nature, to mazel, tzaddik, viralo, rasha, vitovlo. And here, pretty much, everything that he's saying in these last couple of things that we're going over here today is where Eliphaz is telling him that these words that you've said, legev, asher darko, nistar, v'yosech, elokai, ba'ado, you're totally wrong. You make a big mistake. It's not true. There is hashkacha. You want to see hashkacha? Look at the world. Ose, gedolos, ad enichek, and niflos, ad emispar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our understanding, and if you want to look for Hashgacha, look at the fact that people survive difficult situations, and rain, Geshem, is another very important example. Alright, so that is the end of the Rashi, so we have to finish up the Rashi here. Pasik Tes, Pasik Yomam, Pasuk Yudalid, Yomam by day Yifkeshu Choshech Shein Atzasa Miskayemes V'Naseis V'Or Chochmosam Nepach L'Choshech. Look what happens to the wicked. The wicked, they during the daytime they feel darkness. Their counsel does not endure, and their Or Chochma, the light of wisdom, turns to darkness. Pasuk Tezva VaYosha Es Hanichshalu Mecherev UMeEiz Zecherev. What kind of sword? The worst possible sword is Mecherev MiPiem Shayusavurim LeVolam UMisAvim LeHashmidam. They thought that with their mouths, with their sharp tongue, they can destroy the tzaddik. UMiAd Chazak Yoshi Evyon. From the stronger, Hashem saves the Evyon. VeOilasa HaAlila VeHarisha. Wickedness. Kmo Yach. Yichbisu oilois alilois, to seek out evil. Kafsa sagra, to close. Kamo lo tikbots, do not close. Okay, so that concludes this section. I thought we'd be able to finish today the parak, but I guess not. All right, so we'll leave it with this until pasuk Yitzayin.